This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the joy of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. So before I dive into the gospel today, I just want to say something about the wreath here. And, you know, there's three purple candles traditionally, and then a pink candle. And the pink candle is lit today on the third Sunday of Advent. So does anybody know why it's pink? Anybody? Mary was hoping for a girl. I just had to say that. That actually was a joke by the presiding bishop last weekend. She told it down at St. Gregory's. So I just had to do that. So it actually represents joy, so it's perfect that I would have told a joke for that, right? All right. This is an autobiography in five short chapters by Portia Nelson. Chapter one. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. How often do we not see the deep holes in our pathway? How often do we keep going in the same hole over and over and over again in our attitudes or our habits or whatever as a society? How often? And how often do we fail to see the joy in life and the presence of the Holy One? How often? John the Baptist, as we heard last week, always saw. He knew this cousin that he had grown up with was the Holy One. He knew he was with the Messiah. And he tried to tell everybody that he knew about it. But this week, John's in a little bit of a different place. He's actually in prison. He'd been thrown into prison by King Herod because he had the nerve to tell Herod that he shouldn't be married to his brother's wife. You heard me right. He was married to his brother's wife. And John the Baptist told him it wasn't right. Herod didn't like it, threw him in prison. He'd been there a long time. He didn't know what was going on outside. There was no communication, right? No emails. He couldn't find out from people who had gotten the latest news, even when they had come, except by word of mouth. And it must have been pretty powerful what was going on outside with Jesus, because he began to hear all the things that was going on with Jesus, these healings and raisings from the dead. And he just wasn't sure. He had been in prison. And even John, began to wonder. So he sent his messengers out, because he, doubting everything, that's what prison can do to a human being, doubting everything, sends his messengers to go and ask Jesus, "Are you the Holy One? Or should we be looking for somebody else? Do we have to wait longer? We've been waiting so long, so long." But still, even though John was in prison, even though he was lagging in his solid confidence about Christ being the Holy One, still, he's looking for the light. He's still asking in the midst of darkness. So these messengers come, and what does Jesus say? He says, "Don't take my word for it. Go and tell John what you've heard. Go and tell John what you have seen with your own two eyes. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lepers are healed and whole, and the poor, they're receiving good news for a change." Good news. Instantly, John and the messengers would know that that was indication of the Messiah, because it was written in the Hebrew scriptures in several places. They would know this. They would know this. Author and artist Jan Richardson reflects about this story, and she asks us today a poignant question. She writes, and I quote, "When John's disciples returned to him with news of the blind who see, the lame who walk, the lepers made whole, he knows, recognizes once again, leaps perhaps for joy. And what of us in these Advent days? How do we turn our attention beyond our own walls, beyond our own limits? How do we open ourselves to hear and see past what presses in upon us, that we may receive the message, the word, that comes to us?" End quote. And I know that it can seem hard at times to see joy, to see peace in the midst of certain situations. But the living God is here. And my sisters and brothers, that is what we are called to do as followers of this man, Jesus Christ. It's what we're called to do, even if it's difficult. Even if it's difficult. And yes, it's radical. And yes, it seems foolish to a lot of people high in the sky, but it's real. If we don't notice and we keep going down that same road, we keep falling into the same habits and the same holes. Our habits then control us. We're to look to him no matter what. No matter what. And then be amazed at the light that comes. Amazed. Even and especially when those holes seem so very difficult to climb out of, like the tragedies that we remember this weekend from Sandy Hook. But we are holding the light, even in that dark place, by praying for those people, by praying for the 26 children who were shot and killed, and their families, and for the mentally ill shooter, and for his mother who died. We hold that light in the darkness, even in the midst of pain like that. Sometimes we get so caught up in the mundane or bad news or our own troubles that we forget to look up. We forget to go down another street for a change, to do something different. Just like one young mother from Sandy Hook described on NPR yesterday morning, she had lost her little 5-year-old girl. And she said, "I didn't have anything to do with her death. But I have everything to do with how I respond to it. And I'm going to stand for joy for my little girl." It was an amazing, amazing interview. To stand for joy in the midst of that kind of agony is following Christ. It's following Christ. In January of 2007, I'm sure many of you heard this report, the Washington Post did this experiment, and they convinced a certain violinist to go into the metro station and play to see how many people would stop. And people came through, it was probably 2,000 people went by. Hardly any stopped, a few threw a couple dollars, just a regular old Monday morning, no big deal. Well, it was a big deal. The violinist was Joshua Bell, who is one of the virtuoso violinists in the world. And he wasn't just playing any violin. He was playing a violin that he had purchased for several million dollars that was an 18th century Stradivarius. And he was playing music that had been written ages and ages ago that still holds up because of its beauty. And not just anyone could even play it. And he was playing, and no one noticed. Let's watch a brief clip. They said in this long article, and if you write to me, I'll send you the link. They said that the people that they noticed, and they were watching in secret, that the children all noticed and tried to stop their parents to listen. They somehow hadn't, the beauty had not been trained out of them, you know, that ability to see beauty and take a minute. And even one mother had to put herself between her child and the musician, because he just wanted to go back, and she had to get on her way. But the children knew. So the question the Washington Post author and many others since have asked is simple. Have we been trained to recognize beauty, recognize something of that exquisite beauty, outside of its normal context? Have we been trained to do that? Do we notice Christ in our midst? Do we notice the Holy One outside of the normal context? Because that's our calling. This is just a place where we come to try to rev each other up and praise God, take in communion and go out and strengthen and live it in our everyday lives. And I guarantee you it's happening. I'll bet you with every single one of you in your everyday life, even when it seems boring, even when it seems agony, I guarantee you it's happening. I guarantee you. So I have a challenge for you between now and Christmas. I'd like you to start noticing. Just notice. Maybe jot it down. Maybe tell someone. Sometimes we call it God sightings. Just notice, because it's there. I'll give you just a couple examples. This week, right in this community, this happened, and I was witness. A young family shattered by news that the father's cancer has returned holds each other close and is surrounded by prayer of the family and friends who love him, who love them, and are walking with him through this agony. God is there. A young man decides he'll stay another 30 days in rehab because he knows he can't do it alone. God is there. Yesterday, we were trying to organize the food in the back, and there was so much food that had been brought for the hungry, that we couldn't even bring it all up at the 9:30 service. There's still some back there. God is there. And lastly, I went to a boat parade party in Delray Friday night, and when I got there to my friend's home, her little granddaughter greeted me at the door, and she said, oh, hello, hello, hello. And I didn't know her that well. She just knew who I was. She said, hello, hello, hello. I have three things to tell you. And she's like six. She says, come here, come here. She takes my hand, and she says, there's that. This is where the paper plates and the napkins are. And then she's over here, and she said, and this is where the food is. You can put your plate down there. And then she says, and this is where we're going to watch the boat. See the water right there. She didn't know. Hospitality and joy was just coming out of her. And that's God in our midst. And we miss it. And we miss it. And we're called to notice. We're called to proclaim joy, even through the tears. Proclaim with joy that Christ is here and now. The Holy One is here. Amen.